Hi, I'm Matt Martin, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Children's literature is booming. While the market for adult fiction and nonfiction is static or declining, sales of kids' books continue to grow. And you can be very sure that millions of books for kids are going to be bought in just the next few weeks. Many of them are going to be bought for kids of color. While there's lots of talk about how the U.S. will become a majority-minority nation in the 2050s, for kids under five, it's already true. And yet the proportion of that growing children's book market that tells the stories of black and brown, Asian and Latino kids is stuck around 10%, right where it's been for decades. Of course, kids can read and love books about people who don't look like them, who have different experiences and opportunities, who do things they could never imagine, things that aren't even humanly possible. But as author Zeta Elliott has pointed out, if children don't see themselves reflected in books, they can sometimes feel invisible. She writes, if you only ever see white children saving the day and being the hero and accessing the magical worlds, you start thinking those things are reserved for those children. And for children's book author Walter Dean Myers, it's even more fundamental. He writes, books transmit values. They explore our common humanity. What is the message when some children are not represented in those books? We're going to talk about that message and about the structures in publishing, bookselling, and schools that reinforce it, and we're going to work on changing it in this hour of Your Call by giving you many recommendations for great kids' books and by talking about how we can diversify the books available to children in bookstores, libraries, and classrooms. We want you to be part of this conversation, whether you're a parent, a teacher, or just someone who has kids in your life you want to share the love of reading with. I encourage you to stay tuned, and if you have suggestions for great kids' books centered on characters of color, give us a call. Tell us about them. We already have folks posting on our website, yourcallradio.org, and sending emails to feedback@yourcallradio.org. But of course, we welcome you to ring us up as well, 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. On today's program, we're joined by a couple of great guests. Here in studio with me is Sharon Levin. She's been reviewing children's literature for nearly 20 years. She runs the Bay Area Children's Literature email list and is a children's and young adult specialist at Books, Inc. in Palo Alto. Yep. She blogs at lifeliteraturelaughter.com and tweets at Sharon Reeder. Welcome back to Your Call. Sharon, great to have you here.
Thank you. I love being here.
Yeah, and I will let folks know that Sharon has already given us a list of some great books that we have put on our website at yourcallradio.org, where we are going to be posting every book that is talked about during this hour. We'll post those there so it can be a resource for you even after the program is over. Also with us on the line is Jason Lowe. He's a publisher at Lee and Lowe Books, which is the largest multicultural children's book publisher in the country, as well as one of the few minority-owned publishing companies in the United States. He's the son of Lee and Lowe founder Tom Lowe, and the mission of their publishing company is to give children of books, children of color, books they can identify with as well as enjoy. Children of books, we should all be children of books, Jason. Welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Good to be here. Thanks so much.
So I want to start just by talking about the most important thing, which are the books themselves.
Right.
And so I want to ask each of you to give one brief recommendation for just, if you were going to recommend a book right now, you say, like, I can't stop myself from recommending this book. Jason, what's one you'd put forward?
Well, I mean, obviously we have new books that I could recommend, but I mean, since we are a couple days away from Thanksgiving, I thought I would recommend one of our tried and true books called Giving Thanks. It's a Native American Good Morning Message. It's by Chief Jake Swamp and illustrated by Irwin Printup. Essentially, it's the Native American equivalent of the Thanksgiving address. It's environmental, but it also has an appreciation for life itself. It's just a gorgeous book, and it sells strongly, you know, for years and years and years, and I think it's one of those classic books that should be in every collection.
And is this a book that is in a lot of classrooms? It seems like that'd be the kind of thing, you know, these kind of seasonal things is an opportunity to bring a new book into the classroom.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's in the classroom, but it's also part of, like, home libraries as well.
And Giving Thanks, what's the name of the author?
It's Chief Jake Swamp. He's a Mohawk chief who passed away a few years ago.
Thanks so much, Jason, for that recommendation. Sharon Levin, what's one book you can't wait to talk about?
Well, especially since you talked about Walter Dean Myers, who sadly we lost last year. He passed away. Before he passed away, he said to Jason Reynolds, who's a young YA author, you need to carry this on. you need to take on writing for our people. And Jason is kicking butt. He is an amazing author. And the book I would recommend right now is All American Boys, written by Jason Reynolds and Brendan Keeley. And it is about an African-American boy who is mistakenly thought to be stealing something from a store, and he's not, and he is beaten up by a police officer. And it's told from his point of view and the white boy's point of view, who has seen this happen, and this police officer is like a second father to him. And just the going back and forth, and this boy has never done anything wrong and didn't do anything wrong, and even if he had, shouldn't be beaten up. And then the white boy finally realizing his white privilege, but it's not preachy in the slightest. And sadly, especially after last night, it's timely. It will remain timely, unfortunately, for a very long time.
Thank you so much, Sharon Lewin, for that recommendation. All American Boys by Jason Reynolds. We'll be posting all the recommendations for children's literature and books on our website, yourcallradio.org, throughout the hour. And I do want to invite listeners. I know that we got a lot of folks who have children or who have grandchildren who read to somebody in their life and who, you know, one of the great things about being a parent or being, you know, having a nephew or a niece in your life is you get to rediscover wonderful books for kids. So if you have one, particularly ones that put kids of color at the center of the story, we would love to have you share them so that we can make sure that other people hear about them. The number to call is 866-798-8255. So, Jason, I want to ask you, you started, or I should say your father, started Lee & Low Books nearly 25 years ago with a very particular mission. Talk about where that mission came from, why your father decided this was something he needed to do.
Well, it was one of those things that it really comes down to, I guess, like mirrors and windows books. And mirrors, mirror books are really the books that really you can see yourself in. Window books are the ones that you can see others in. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of mirror books for kids, you know, diverse kids, there just weren't a lot of them. Before you mentioned that the level of new diverse books published each year is around 10%, and that has been for decades. So so Lee and Lowe was really formed, you know, on that mission to do something about that, to try and move the needle, you know, to get more diverse books into the pipeline. And so really that was what started it and what continues, and it just seems as if our books are even more relevant today. With all the different discussions going on, you know, about the importance of diversity, but also the challenges of getting more of it out there. So I think we have our work cut out for us, and I think things are going to get very, very interesting.
Well, there's been a big push around diversity in publishing, not just in kids' books, mm-hmm. but in publishing more broadly. As someone inside the industry, Jason, what do you see? I mean, obviously, you know, a publishing house can decide, we're going to publish this kind of book. But that doesn't mean they necessarily have the opportunity to reach the audience that they might. What are some of those challenges?
Well, I think that there's like some bright spots. Like, for instance, like, you know, in terms of reaching audience, I do see, I haven't measured this or anything, but it's just something that I've been sort of noticing, that there's been an uptick of, you know, diverse representation at, like, panel discussions and trade shows. You know, there seems to be a lot more reaching out to us, you know, for our authors and illustrators to participate in panels. So I think that sort of came out of a couple years ago. There was a little dust-up that happened at BookCon, which was a new offshoot from Book Expo in New York City. And what happened was BookCon had announced, you know, their you know, key panel, and what it was filled with was white men, you know, basically, and that was about it. So what we were trying to do then from as a reaction to that was to launch a sort of protest panel filled with star diverse authors. And when we were just about to get ready to do that, we had heard that the activist group We Need Diverse Books was actually going to launch a panel of its own. So what we did was we basically, you know, merged with them and made a, you know, a lot of noise over that. So I think that was sort of, you know, one of the reasons that a lot of these panels are starting to, you know, be more aware of, you know, who they're including in their panels, you know, was because of the BookCon incident. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, the industry itself and publishing more diverse books, obviously the statistics have not moved. But there is a lot of, you know, renewed sense of empowerment from readers themselves. I mean, people in general are calling out issues of inequality, you know, in universities and workplaces and across different media. So I think for us, it's like, you know, we just feel that if you see, you know, any incidences of, you know, discrimination or anything like that, you know, if you see something, you have to say something. You know, you just have to remain vigilant. So I think things will change over time, but it's going to take a while.
You know, you were talking, Jason, about this idea of a mirror book or a window book.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right? So a mirror book where you see yourself in the, in characters, in the families that might be represented. A window book, oh, you're looking into someone else's experience. And the importance, I'm sure, of both, but you were saying the importance of there being mirror books for kids of color. One thing that I've noticed just in my casual reading with my 8-year-old daughter is the fact that when there are books about people of color, quite often they seem to be about being a person of color or about specific social, you know, social issues that, you know, get taken on, whether they're historical or personal. But that seems to be, you know, and I wonder when it comes to thinking about that question of a mirror book, how you think about, you know, not just diversifying who's in the stories, but what the stories are.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree that there has to be a diversification in terms of what the books are about. I think the reason that, you know, a lot of sort of quote-unquote diverse books are about historical moments is that essentially, like, when you go through school, like when I went through school, probably pretty much anybody you talk to, is that a lot of people of color have been almost, you know, like, edited out of American history. You know, it's always become this very, you know, thing that maybe you learn about in college when you take an elective, but it's not one of those things that was really included in basically standard social studies or anything like that. So I think that there's been a lot of attempts to catch up, you know, of providing those books, you know, about people of color and their contributions in history, you know, and that was probably why you'll see a lot of those books. But I think recently, and especially with our house, we have been making an effort to just do books, you know, that aren't about things like that, that are just about, you know, everyday, you know, stuff, you know, fun books, things like that, you know. So I think there's going to be a shift, you know. But, I mean, there's will continue to be serious books, as there are with all books that are out there. But I think we're going to see, you know, a good, you know, more balanced mix coming in the years to come.
Jason Lowe is publisher at Lee and Lowe Books, the largest multicultural children's book publisher in the United States. Also with us here on Today's Your Call is Sharon Levin. She's been reviewing children's literature for nearly 20 years. She runs the Bay Area Children's Literature email list and is children's and young adult specialist at Books, Inc. in Palo Alto. We are talking about great books for kids, thinking forward to the holiday when a lot of us will be buying books for children in our lives, and thinking about how we diversify what kind of books we're giving to those kids and how we make sure that all kinds of kids are represented in the literature that's available to them in bookstores, in libraries, in classrooms. Sharon, you, in your work, in working in bookstores, you're talking directly to parents.
Right.
And offering them advice about, here's what I think would be appropriate, here's what's a great new book you should know about.
Right.
In thinking about before the show, we were talking about some of the complications of mirror books for kids, where sometimes the stories are troubling and you have to decide whether it's really appropriate for a kid of a certain age to say, oh, I do identify with that story. That can be a challenging
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And you and I were talking specifically about Holes, and I said to
it's
you...
It's a book by Lewis Sacker.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was actually a good movie. Changed some stuff, but it was a good movie. But one of the crux, and I'm going to ruin it for you, Max, because I know
that's
you haven't
right.
finished the book. One of the crux plot points is that there is a romance between a white woman and an African-American man. And in that, he gets murdered. So when I sell Holes, and Jason, you can tell me if you disagree with this, because I'm always open to learning. I've never thought about this before. When I've sold Holes, it's like, this is a great book. Your kid will love it. Recently at the store, I had an African-American mom saying, is this appropriate for my kid? And I said, well, let me explain to you this plot point and the inherent racism in that. And that is the only – and that's not true. There's also in the – in part of the story is in current times, and there are kids of color in that. But I did explain to her this is the point in the historical context of the book, and she opted not to buy that book for her kid because she didn't want that to be how he identified.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Any thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, for an African-American parent, you know, I mean, I think the whole, just in terms of how your kid is maturing and the kind of messages and stuff that you want, you know, him or her to be exposed to. Historically, I mean, it depends on the style of parenthood, I guess, you know, because I think, you know, with my kids, I have two boys, and with the oldest boy, I really haven't really sheltered him from too much, you know, of, you know, the more reality of American history, you know, because I want him to be aware of it, you know, and even though, like, you know, you can't, like, give him, like, the whole, you know, song and dance right away, but I think you can gradually do that over time, and I think it'll make more sense to them, you know, as they get older. So I think that comes down to parenting style, you know, in my opinion anyway.
Right.
You know?
No, I completely agree with you. It's a warning I gave. It's information I gave this mom that I wouldn't think twice about with a white mom. And it was her choice to make it, but I wanted her to have the information.
Actually, in terms of, we have an interesting question about talking about race in children's literature. Melina in San Francisco is called in. Melina, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much for the great show. We read a lot at home. I have a 6-year-old boy, and we've just started reading some chapter books and some classics specifically. We just finished Mary Poppins, and right before that, Dr. Doolittle.
Oh my gosh!
I know. My mom read to me when I was little, and we're really enjoying them. But I'm really having some trouble navigating some, like, extremely culturally and racially insensitive
racist books. Yeah.
And I just wondered if your guests have any suggestions on how parents. I find myself reading a few sentences ahead and then doing my own editing, like skipping over the offensive, really offensive.
Oh yeah, wait till you do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Melina, it's a great question, an issue I'm sure all kinds of parents have had to address. Sharon, you want to briefly take that on?
Like Jason was saying, it all depends on your style of parenting, and your child is 6, so you can explain to them going in, there's going to be some stuff in here we don't agree with, this is how people looked at things. You can skip things. I don't normally recommend that. I would just talk to them about it. But yeah, some of the stuff we grew up on is incredibly racist, and we missed it at the time.
Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the same experiences throughout the years, and you know, aside from being a big reader, I'm a big movie buff as well, so, you know, I like to curate, you know, kind of like the movies that I feel my son should see, but I remember we were seeing, like, a Pink Panther movie, right? There was just some amazingly racist stuff in there, but what was kind of cool about it was that my son turned to me when this one particularly troubling part was happening, and he just says, "What, Dad?" He goes, "That's really racist, right?"
Yeah.
And I was kind of saying to myself, "Hey, I think I did a good job here." He was able to identify this, and really, it has led to some really interesting discussions, you know, because I think race is one of those things that it's still like this taboo topic, you know, and that, you know, as we sort of get, you know, force ourselves to become more comfortable talking about these things, then our kids won't see it as taboo, you know, and they'll get used to talking about the issues, you know, and it really is one of those things that, you know, could become a great talk about right and wrong, morality, all kinds of different things. So I think it shouldn't be avoided, because I think a lot of the classic books are still great books, but they are just sort of a, you know, a window into a different time, you know, so I don't think they should be skipped over or censored or anything like that. But I think they are opportunities to just talk about these things.
We've got a lot of people calling in wanting to give their suggestions for great children's literature that puts characters of color at the heart of them. One of them is Neil in Richmond. Neil, welcome to your call. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The book I'm thinking of is actually about a Jewish girl. It's a book called Nest by Esther Ehrlich.
Oh, yes.
And it really covers the some of the cultural issues of being a Jewish family in a non-Jewish world, and I think it's a great book for any family to read, any kid.
Great.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Neil. We really appreciate you calling in. We'll be putting that, as well as all the other books recommended in the hour, at yourcallradio.org. Let's go next to Laura in San Francisco. Laura, you have a recommendation?
I did. I had two. One is called Double Happiness. It's by Nancy Tupper Ling, and it's illustrated by a local San Francisco illustrator whose name is Alina Chow. And it's a beautiful story about a modern Chinese-American family who are moving across country. And it incorporates poetry, Chinese characters, and a really wonderful story about just everything that happens to a family when and kids when they move across the country, overlaid with a beautiful modern take on Chinese culture.
Is that Alina Chu?
Yes.
Chu, C-H-U, right. Yes. Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, so her work's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the other one is called Marvelous Cornelius, mm-hmm. and it is by Phil Bildner and illustrated by John Parra. And it's a story of a garbage man, a trash collector named Cornelius at the time of Hurricane Katrina, who was a trash collector in the Ninth Ward who sort of made a big show out of collecting the trash, and he would spin the can lids, and he was sort of a fixture in the neighborhood. And then after the hurricane hit, the trash was just overwhelming, and he approached the cleanup with the same sort of verb and spirit that he approached his job, and was really sort of a beacon of hope for his family or for his neighborhood. And what's wonderful is it really shows that no matter what your job is and who you are, your attitude and your approach is what matters, and you have the ability to affect change not only for your community but also for yourself. And wonderful books for kids this holiday.
Right on. Thank you so much, Laura. So, I mean, our listeners, obviously our readers and people who pay attention to this stuff. Sharon, I saw you reacting.
Well, I remember Marvelous Cornelius, and I'm so glad you put that because I forgot to put it on my list. Yeah, I love these books, and I also love that, I always say this, children's lit makes me smarter. My knowledge of history comes mainly out of children's books, and a children's picture book will take one person and focus on them and something better than adult books can do. I took a social studies class from one of the Little Rock Nine, and at one point I was asked, because I was the obnoxious person answering all the questions, how do you know all this? And I said, every question answered is from a children's book.
Well, if you have a children's book that you have learned from and you'd like to recommend to other folks in our listening audience, we are talking about great children's books today here on Your Call, and specifically looking for books that are in what is unfortunately a small minority of children's books that comes out, books that are by or about people of color. We'd love to hear from you. We're getting some great folks calling in at 866-798-8255. If you are a parent, if you are a teacher, maybe you're a librarian or someone who works at a bookstore or in publishing, talk about what are great books you've seen and what it takes to diversify the literature that is available to kids. And Jason, we have to go to a break in about 1 minute, but I'm going to ask you a provocative question very quickly before we do that.
Sure.
For books about kids of color to really blow up and become a big market phenomenon, is it about crossing over?
Yep, it definitely is about crossing over. It's also about, you know, reaching readers, and that really has to do with the size, you know, of certain publishers who do focus on diversity. I mean, even though we're, you know, the largest, you know, diverse publisher in the U.S., I mean, it's still pretty relative, you know, to the size of the different people who are doing this, and we're still considered, you know, not a mid-size, but not a small, somewhere in between. So it's just a matter of, like, what you can afford to do, you know, to get your authors out there, you know, because really when people are asking for, you know, as I was saying before, better representation on panels at conferences and things like that, you know, they're only going to keep coming to you if you can say yes once in a while. You know, if you keep crying poverty and keep saying that you can't afford to send people, then they're going to stop calling. So
that's Jason, I got to cut you off right there.
Yeah,
we are going to come right back after this break.
We invite you to join today's conversation on Your Call. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. If you'd prefer to write rather than call, the email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11, we'll have your say from the BBC. And at noon today, Philosophy Talk.
For those of you joining us, this is Your Call. I'm Matt Martin sitting in for Rose Aguilar. We do podcast our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. That is also where you can find a list of all the books that are recommended on the program today. So after you're finished, if there's one you heard about that intrigued you, or maybe you want to share the list with other people, it's easy at yourcallradio.org. We have some great shows coming up in the next couple of days. Tomorrow, we're going to be rebroadcasting a conversation we had with film director Amir Soltani about his documentary Dogtown Redemption, which tells the story of people in West Oakland who live by recycling. The folks you've seen pushing their shopping carts up the street, you want to know what their stories are and what they deal with on a day-to-day basis. Fascinating conversation Rose Aguilar had with Amir Soltani. And on Friday, we're going to revisit our conversation with James Vanderbilt, director of Truth, which is the new film that examines the 60-minute story that raised questions about George W. Bush's Vietnam War-era service in the National Guard. That's coming up. But today we're talking about children's literature and diversity in publishing, and have great guests with us. Sharon Levin, a longtime Bay Area children's book reviewer, also works at Books, Inc. in Palo Alto in their young adult and children's section. On the line with us is Jason Lowe, publisher at Lee and Lowe Books, the largest multicultural children's book publisher in the country. We've got a lot of folks on the line, Sharon and Jason. I want to ask you, each of you again, though, for an additional recommendation, something you love, because people, you know, this is what it's about. It's about sharing great books that we want to then share with kids. Sharon, why don't you tell us one you'd like to talk about?
George. I love George. George is by Alex Gino, and they live in Oakland. And I always say, you know, when people say, I have a book with a message, I've never seen it. Well, first of all, if you start with a message, your book will be terrible. And second of all, I feel like a lot of that's been written. Oh, no, George has never been written. It is about a boy who is very clear that he's a girl named Melissa. And she would like to be Charlotte in the class play and is told she cannot be because Charlotte is played by a girl. And Melissa has not been clear to anybody in her life that she is a girl. Alex is a local author, and they just wrote the most amazing book. And it's middle grade, which we don't have a lot of LGBTQ for middle grade. We have picture books, and we have young adult, and this is great. I recommend it wholeheartedly.
George by Alex?
Alex Gino, G-I-N-O.
Great. We'll put that on our list at yourcallradio.org. And Jason, you want to throw in a recommendation for folks?
Sure. Well, since it is Native American Heritage Month, I'm going to throw a Native American title out there. It's called Trail of the Dead. It is book two in the Killer of Enemies series, which is a YA series written by author Joseph Bruschak. Essentially, when we're trying to come up with a quick way, one-liner to describe this book series, we came up with that it is our Apache steampunk thriller.
That's perfect.
Well, you know, one thing that Sharon and I were talking about with during the break, Jason, is, you know, obviously not all books with characters of color in them are created equal, right? Yeah. Just the fact that there might be representation doesn't mean it's an accurate representation, a positive representation, a constructive one. How do you think about that when you're vetting the books that come into your publishing house? What are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for characters that really, you know, stand on their own, that are captivating, you know, that are, you know, truly deserve to have a book written about them. I think for so long, what passed as inclusiveness was really just having sort of someone in the cast of characters as that person of color, but they really, you know, in all intents and purposes, were a sidekick. You know, they weren't really a whole character. So the book really, you know, if there's going to be a book, you know, with a POC lead, then, you know, that person has to be someone that you want to read about, you know, and learn more about. And if there's drama involved, to root for. So it's really, you know, any of the qualities that you would find, you know, in any good book, you know, we're looking for those qualities too.
And another question that I had was, you know, thinking about, I said, once again, seeing my 8-year-old daughter and seeing her classroom, which if you look at who's in the classroom, you know, it's incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
Kids of all colors and backgrounds speaking different languages. And then I look at the books in the classroom library, which have primarily been donated by people who are in the school. And boy, I tell you, particularly when it comes to the series, the things, you know, like you love the Junie B. Jones, you read one, you're going to read 19.
Right.
Those are almost all white boys and girls represented in them. First, I'd love if you could tell me about any great series or ones where you like you build on that, you know, like once you get to know a character, you want more. But also just how you break through about you know, in those places where kids are likely to encounter books.
Well, the stories Huey tells, who is that, Jason? Is that Cameron?
Oh, I know the one.
You know
the
story.
Yeah, we'll check
so
that out.
So that's a series, and that's about that age, maybe a little bit younger, African-American kids.
Mm.
Who else am I thinking of? There's not as many as I'd like to see, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sharon Draper, does she go young?
I'm not sure.
I think she may have some younger ones. And I have her website on the KALW website.
And the stories Huey tells, it's by Ann Cameron and Roberta Smith. So we'll be posting that. But I think it clearly, I mean, you all spend your time in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And these don't pop to mind for you.
No.
Which I think is, and this is how kids embrace, you know, they embrace a set of characters, right? And then they live with them.
Right.
They want more and more. So obviously this is an area to move into. I do want to definitely get to some more of our calls. We've got Denny in Richmond on the line. Denny, welcome to your call.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Great show. I wanted to suggest two books. One is a children's reading book by Ino Nagaro called A is for Activist.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, the story of this is that Ino's son, he was reading to his son, and he just got sick reading these sort of mindless books, which are helpful in associating simple words with the alphabet, but had no real content. And like you say, a lot of it's just white folks. So he wrote that book, and it's awesome. That's for young readers. And then there's another one written by Harriet Romer, and illustrated by Julia McLaughlin, called Heroes of the Environment: True Stories of People Who Have Helped to Protect the Planet. And these are short stories for older readers about, well, people like that have won the Goldman Environmental Prize, like Margie Richard, who fought the Shell Oil Company for 15 years to get a fair relocation for her entire community. So they're very inspirational, and you can't go wrong with either one.
Sharon, you wanted to jump in with another recommendation
The A is for Activist. City Lights Publishing and Bookstore just put out their first children's title ever called Rad Women A to Z.
And I'm glad to say we've had those authors on this show. If there's one place where rad women are going to be featured, it is your call. So
that's true.
We'll definitely put that on the list as well. Let's go next to Susan in San Francisco. Susan, welcome to your call.
Hi. Thanks for the show. It's wonderful. I wanted to recommend books by Vera Williams, who passed away this year. She wrote More, 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 Said the Baby, and with diverse characters and beautiful illustrations. And also books featuring working class characters. The mom is a waitress, and it's a beautiful book called A Chair for My Mother, saving up money to buy a chair for the hardworking mom. And also Irene Small, who writes Jonathan and His Mommy, and she has a website with exercises that can go along with the books. Literacize, she calls it.
Irene Smalls.
One other comment is,
sure,
I think that all children should read books featuring all kinds of characters.
Absolutely.
And I hope that in bookstores, people are not steered toward books because of, you know, the race they walk in with.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's, well, it's, I'm sure, well, I'm sure, no, it does happen.
I'm sure it does happen. I'm sorry, as a bookseller, I never do that. sorry.
Well, I think that, but there is a question. I mean, I think about in retail, placement is everything.
Right? True.
And so what you're going to put out front, I mean, I'm sure at Books Inc., like every other independent bookseller, you got to make sure that when there's that opportunity, that person who walks in to find a book that they're going to identify with or connect with,
right,
you want to give them the opportunity to do that. But that may mean that the dominant culture gets served a little more.
Right. It depends what they're asking for. So we do listen, and then we prescribe, essentially.
Sure. But I just wonder how you think, because I know, for instance, I know you think about in your list that you send out, how do you make sure to have a diverse range of authors and characters represented? But I think it can be challenging in book selling, right?
It can be. The nice thing in this day and age is you can go on what I like to call the Twitter and various lists, and there's all kinds of resources out there.
Yeah, and I definitely want to make sure we get some of those before the end of the show that folks can get.
Right.
But Jason Lowe, how do you deal with that when you're talking to booksellers about the placement of books, where people are going to have a chance to see them, maybe not just on a shelf, but in a display?
Yeah, I mean, years and years ago, you know, we made the decision to really concentrate on the education market. A lot of it had to do with the return policy, which still exists at this time. Mm-hmm. So we really were sort of, when we were, you know, just starting out, we really didn't have the kind of capital that was needed to really shoulder, you know, high returns, you know, and then keep, you know, everything running. So we went toward education, and we found that we're just able to sort of, you know, get a long-standing, you know, relationship going where you can have, we, like, for instance, on our Pinterest account, we have about over 100 boards, you know, of different recommended lists. It's by theme, by level, you know, by ethnicity, you know, and so people can sort of just visit there and get hordes of different, you know, book recommendations. I mean, we're really a believer of diverse books for 12 months out of the year rather mm-hmm. than just a few observances, you know, throughout the one calendar year. So for us, I mean, it just, we don't rely on the bookstores because, you know, especially with Barnes and Noble and stuff, all of those books that are facing out, it's all has to do with co-op advertising, mm-hmm. you know, which is very expensive, you know, so, you know, maybe a book like Giving Thanks will get picked up, you know, in a big box store, you know, and be face out, you know, for November maybe, but other than that, we're concentrating mostly on school and school library.
I want to hear more about that in a moment, but we have a caller on the line, Phyllis in Berkeley, who has a lot of knowledge of this whole, all these questions around this. Phyllis, great to have you on the program.
Oh, I'm so happy to be on the program, and thank you for doing this wonderful program. So the book that I'd like to mention is called The New Press Guide to Multicultural Resources for Young Readers. It was edited by an Auckland writer, Daphne Muse, M-U-S-E, mm-hmm. and the subtitle is A Comprehensive Guide to Multicultural Children's Literature, featuring over 1,000 critical book reviews. It was published in 1997, and so it's for people who want to go to the library, I think, and find some authoritative works with the reviews. It's just an incredible resource, and I can't really recommend it highly enough. It is, I'll just give you a taste in terms of a couple of chapter headings. Chapter one, Who Am I? Who Are We? And I should also say that the populations included in this multicultural book are Asian American, African American, Native American, migrant populations, including also some on handicapped people. And see, did I get all of the Hispanic? I think I got all of those minority populations in the country. And so the next chapter, the family, community and friendship, cultural traditions, folk tales, fairy tales and legends, fantasy, and the imagination.
Sounds like quite a resource.
This includes people coming in, we hope, more Syrians and others, at present, but then justice, human rights, equity, building cross-cultural relationships, and then there are various other sections on children's book awards and so on. And I'd just like to share one more thing, and that is
Please.
Daphne's habit at Halloween. She reviews hundreds of books every year, multicultural children's books especially, and on Halloween, instead of giving out candy, she gives out a book to each child who comes, and on occasion, the parents have asked for books, and she has books for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of a better way to celebrate Halloween?
Very cool.
Life?
Thank you so much, Phyllis, for the call. Really appreciate it. Daphne Muse and that book. We'll definitely put that online at yourcallradio.org. The number to call, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. Our guests are Sharon Levin, longtime reviewer of children's literature, and Jason Lowe, publisher at Lee and Lowe Books. Jason, I want to come back to you before we talk to more of our listeners and to ask you about, you were talking about getting in, you know, kind of focusing your work on getting into schools.
Mm-hmm.
So what's most important in making that work? I kind of think, you know, schools tend to be strapped for resources.
Yeah.
They have to make a lot of hard choices. How do you make it inviting for them to bring these books with a different set of stories, a different set of characters into the classroom?
Well, I think that we try to make it easy for them, you know, by essentially having all our books leveled by the different, you know, various leveling systems, which tell, you know, what age or what reading level that kids are reading at, so they know where to slot these books. The other thing we do is create a lot of supplemental material, like teacher's guides, you know, for the picture books and discussion questions for the older books, you know, just because, you know, as you said, teachers are strapped for time. You know, we're trying to make it easy for them. We're trying to have all of those materials for them so they don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know, to insert a new book into their classroom collection, you know. The other thing is that we essentially will work with, you know, classrooms, you know, to try to really gauge what they need, what they want, you know, and then, you know, we talk about our books about, you know, in a way that what they're really about. We don't try to focus so much on, you know, just ethnicity or race, but really about the essence of the books, the characters, the themes, you know, the different hooks that the books deal with. So we treat our books like, you know, like any other book, and I think a lot of teachers appreciate that.
And Jason, I want to bring on another guest who's just, we just got in touch with Pat Mora, who is an author, a poet, and a literacy activist, advocate, and she's written over 35 children's books, and she founded Children's Day and Book Day, also referred to as DIA, and these days promote creative linking of all children and families to books, and it's going to be the 20th anniversary of DIA, coming up in April of 2016. Pat, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Well, I've been listening for the last 15 minutes and enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating and deep conversation. Talk about what DIA is and what you try to accomplish through that.
I will. I want to comment on the 15 minutes, though, for just a second.
Oh, yeah, please weigh in.
I think one of the real challenges is often we are talking to one another, and the real challenge of being compelling enough in our message, which is what DIA is about, you know, that is that children matter. So I was inspired to start it when April 1996, I happened to, for the first time, and I'm from the border, from El Paso, Texas, but I had never heard of the Mexican custom of what's called El Día del Niño, the Day of the Child. Many countries have a Day of the Child, and oddly enough, our wonderful country hasn't had that tradition. So we have Mother's Day and Father's Day, but we really haven't had Children's Day. When I discovered that, I had begun publishing for children and was just keenly aware of how many children don't have books, and of how many families don't think about the value of diverse images for children. And so I felt we couldn't just have Children's Day. That wasn't going to be a big enough campaign at this time in history. You know, we're a very technological era. The children who cannot be active readers, you know, the usual statistic is they need to be active readers by the third grade.
Right.
And so that was really the impetus for starting Children's Day Book Day, El Día de los Niños, El Día de los Libros, that is so long that everybody just calls it DIA, which has the daily component. So it's every day of the year. We are promoting what I call creative literacy. Some people use it to mean diversity in action, which is also great. But it's always tied to really celebrating all our incredible children and linking them to what I call book joy.
And so if this is going on every day, how today is DIA putting that message out there?
Well, ideally, you know, I have a website, and so we have all kinds of tips and suggestions. I think my biggest challenge really is inspiring teachers and librarians to embrace this work. They are so underappreciated, and they get discouraged, and I understand why. They are burdened by testing. I met with 10 librarians at the beginning of the year here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and after they introduced themselves, I looked at them and I said, but the year hasn't started, and you're all already tired.
Mm-hmm. And yep, then these are the realities.
Yeah, and they each told me why. They said, well, I don't get to be a librarian. I'm a test monitor. Mm-hmm. And another one said, I'm the translator. But it's really those people who are working with families directly, who are in classrooms, who are in libraries. We just need to excite them, because I'm not there. I mean, I can write the books, I can talk about this, but I'm really trying to excite them.
Yes, that's Pat Mora. She's joining us talking about her work in children's literature. We're talking about diverse characters and stories throughout children's literature with Pat, with Jason Lowe, with Sharon Levin, and also with folks who are calling in. I want to go next to Mariah in Oakland. Welcome, Mariah, and you're on your call. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm just loving this conversation, and I love hearing Pat say the term book joy. I'm the co-founder of canerail.org. It is a place where we are developing a database that have books that represent children as the primary character. So we're really invested in that notion of children seeing themselves everywhere, but as primary characters. And I just wanted to say quickly that as a former kindergarten teacher, I used to take all of the books that I was reading in class and have my students imagine the characters beforehand, before I would show them any imagery, as children of color, as the children that reflected who they were in the classroom. And so that was a way for me to kind of have an opportunity for students to engage in a piece, a literature piece, but to feel themselves in it because of the lack of books that represent them. So that's just one tool, and we're really about sharing other tools on our website. So I just wanted to let you know that it's out there.
Well, Mariah, thank you for the work, and thank you for sharing it. We will post canerail.org on our website, yourcallradio.org. Maybe we could just go around, and each of you could share a really great resource that people should know about for finding new books that you might not have discovered otherwise. Sharon, you want to tell us about one?
Can I do two? So one is a personal plug. Well, one is... you'll see my email on there. I have a Bay Area Children's Lit List that will keep you in the loop on all the events in the Bay Area and also let you know what books are out there. So there's my plug. For this week, this month, but all year also, because we have such bad representation for Thanksgiving in Native Americans, I love American Indians in Children's Literature.blogspot.com, and that also will be on the KALW site. It's fantastic.
Jason, you have a recommendation?
Yeah, I mean, first I got to plug my own thing, because that's my job. But anyway, our blog, blog.leeandlow.com, we recommend books other than our own, but we also recommend our own books. But we also sort of deem it as a safe place to talk about, you know, race and diversity and things like that. So it's I really recommend it for people who are interested in wanting to learn more. The other website that I would also recommend is Reading While White. It's an excellent place put together by librarians who feel that they want to get involved, you know, in terms of learning more about things like, you know, privilege and, you know, microaggressions and things like that. So I've been monitoring some of the discussions that are happening over there, and they're just excellent. So I would definitely recommend that as well.
Great. Thank you so much. And Pat Mora, would you have some online resources you'd recommend?
Well, I also was really moved by that, the lead essay on Reading While White that was published by ALSC in its publication. It's really a moving piece, and that's an idea that's been around for a long, long time, and so I can't say enough about that. The other book I was going to mention, just a favorite of mine, is the Poetry Friday Anthology for Celebrations, and it's celebrations from all over the world, and it's just a delightful book, and it's got at the bottom activities for teachers and librarians, and it was put together by librarian and educator Sylvia Vardell and by the poet Janet Wong.
Great. I just feel like we could go on and on. Obviously, this is a world of literature. Mm-hmm. It's a world of ideas, and things are being written all the time. People are talking very intensively about this. I did have one question that I wanted to get answered because we have just about a minute left. And so I wanted to ask you, Sharon, if you have an answer for Peter in Berkeley, who wanted to know if we had any recommendations for Arab and Muslim children, books that have positive representations, especially in light of all that's going on.
Brand new one just came out. There's the movie Wajah about the little Saudi Arabian girl who wants a bicycle. And that director-producer just wrote a book called The Green Bicycle, and it's fantastic. I really love that one. And also look for books by Naomi Shihab Nye, N-Y-E.
Naomi Shihab Nye. Mm-hmm. Final thoughts from you, Jason, about these conversations and how we keep them moving forward in a constructive way.
Well, I think that the one thing that that people have to remember, you know, as a publisher, you know, I used to just come to work, you know, and feel that, you know, making books was enough of a contribution, you know, to this cause. But then we got involved with a lot of different other projects, you know, that are about furthering, you know, the understanding and acceptance of a lot of the issues that we're dealing with. Obviously, I don't have enough time to talk about them all, but one of them has to do with scholarships, you know, for people who are taking advanced degrees, who are heading toward, you know, careers in publishing. Another is the diversity baseline survey, which is taking, you know, creating a baseline number for staff, you know, and reviewers and people who work in publishers. We also have the diversity gap study, which has to do with, you know, looking at different media, you know, and seeing, you know, what is the lack of representation that actually exists in those different fields and how that all connects back to publishing and just systemic type of, you know, problems that we're dealing with every day and you're seeing in the news. So I think that, you know, like Pat, who formed DIA, you know, you have to do more, you know, in order to bring about change.
Jason Lowe's publisher at Lee and Lowe Books, the largest multicultural children's book publisher in the country. Also with us for this hour, we've had Pat Mora, author of Bilingual Children's Literature and Literacy Advocate, founder of DIA, and Sharon Levin, founder of the Bay Area Children's Book List. Thank you, all of you. I'm so looking forward to going, checking out a lot of these books and reading some of them with my daughter, hopefully, and I hope that other folks in the audience have the same experience. I'm Matt Martin, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. This is Your Call. Thanks for listening. On the next Your Call, we'll rebroadcast our conversation with Amir Soltani about his documentary, Dogtown Redemption, which gives voice to three people in West Oakland who make their living by recycling. We'll also hear about the recycling center where they sell what they find, which is now under pressure to close. What questions do you have about the people who recycle to survive? It's Your Call with Rose Aguilar and you.